Here we come, walk down the street, get funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
Live from the 1480 AM studios in Phoenix, Arizona, KPHX, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinert, and those are the monkeys. It is the Ape Show. Joseph,
gonna be a good show. We're all monkeys.
Today,
yeah, we
break
are monkeys.
Through Ape Show.
Oh. Oh. Wow.
Sedate him, will you?
Yeah, that I'm not going to date him. Oh, you said sedate him.
Ape, not kill ape.
Yes, those who have not seen the dawn. What is it?
The dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah,
the sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Don't those mean the same thing, though, dawn and rise?
Kind of, you know, and almost
sort
it seems like dawn
titles.
Would be first.
Right, before that.
Well, I was going to make a joke about a woman named Dawn, but...
I mean, Eric, what do you think? Do they mean
that
dawn,
like
dawn is rising and rise is rising?
Up and rise
seems a little
up.
Redundant.
It
yeah.
does.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. We'll find out if that's any good. I saw it.
I saw it.
What is Late July, by the way?
Late July, it's an organic company that makes delicious saltine crackers.
Oh, I brought some saltines, too.
Fantastic.
They're probably not organic, though.
It's all good.
I've got
nobody's perfect, Eric.
I've got salted nuts, salted peanuts.
Okay. I see that.
He's enjoying them. Yeah, yeah, having a great time with those.
Yeah,
I bet they come in very useful at the
Maybe
bar crawl.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk about next week's show, a preview of next week's show.
Oh, yes.
I still, after all these months, don't know what a bar crawl even is.
I don't even know. But
it's,
you know,
where you just go from bar to bar.
I wanted to do an
Isn't that
ape
bar
hopping,
crawl. Though?
I wanted to do
Same
an ape
thing.
Bar crawl, an ape-themed bar crawl, because, of course, this is the monkeys singing us into the show, the monkeys. And it is
Davy Jones.
Yeah, yeah. There's a Monkees movie coming out, actually. I think.
There is?
Yeah, there's like a biopic.
Didn't Davy Jones just pass away, or was it?
Yes.
He did. And
yes.
this morning, the final member of the Ramones yes. passed away. So.
Oh, really? All of them are dead
all
now?
All four of them are goners. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
That's not right.
Well, they were all very young.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Okay.
It's sad.
Yes, it is. The Ape Show. So we're going to be reviewing, what, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, coming up in about 10 minutes?
Rise
so?
Of the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Because the wife of Caesar is named Dawn.
I need to talk to Caesar!
Is that right? Was her name Dawn?
Dawn, was it? I don't know. Was it?
No.
I didn't know Caesar had a wife.
Caesar's son
oh, yeah.
was Caesar's
yeah.
son's name was Blue Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, like
no,
Frank Sinatra.
Wasn't it Bright Eyes? That's what the
no,
apes
eyes.
Called
Blue
Charlton eyes. Heston. They called him Bright Eyes.
And they called Frank Sinatra Old oh. Blue Eyes.
Well, there's
yes.
there is
Charlton
a
Charlton Heston
there, there's another
his hands from
I don't know the baby
lifeless
the ape,
gun or whatever.
The baby.
The what?
The baby ape. We don't
damn
know that.
Dirty
that
ape hands
that
off
was
me.
A cute little
yeah.
baby.
Yeah, that was a cute
baby.
A baby
ape. How adorable.
And we can ask our guest who is it coming on? That expert in apes. What was his name?
He's a primatologist. His name is Dr. Stephen Ross.
Is that even really a job?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of like film critic?
Kind of like radio show producer? Hey, I do a lot. I sit here. You know, who picked that first song?
You did.
You picked them all.
Yes, I picked all the songs.
He
and
picked
I,
them all.
And guess who got Dr. Stephen Ross on
you
today?
You did.
I thought
that
this,
was me.
I thought this was a sex show.
No, next
oh,
week
that's
is
next
sex
week.
Show.
Oh. We could start early, though.
Did I send you the wrong info?
No, I didn't read it.
Oh, we okay. are by Van Buren, aren't we?
Thanks a lot.
Aren't we close
well,
to
I don't
Van
often
Buren?
Get to my email.
I planned all week, or in and before that even.
Just for me to read that one sheet.
Yeah, yeah. And
the
you
one
didn't.
Sheet.
Mason,
you didn't.
Or I mean,
Mason,
Eric, you have,
what are you talking about?
Eric, you have a smartphone, right? Well, the reason is when
it's
I,
not so smart
I brought my
broken.
Phone up, and I have a picture of my son Mason, and I saw that, and so I called Eric Mason.
Oh, I was going to say, are you calling
they look alike, but no.
Maybe, who's your daddy?
No, but I was going to say, on a smartphone, don't you have it? You get your emails right to the phone.
No, I don't like
I don't respond to them right away, because I, you know, I'll look at it, and then
I get
back to it later. Kind of
like when I get texts, I say, who sent me this? And I go, oh, yeah, I don't need to talk to them for
no.
Eric's like, it's from Joseph.
So
nah,
if I don't
sure.
respond to your text for, like, you know, 24 hours, it probably means I don't care about you.
Include
I'm
a
kidding.
Picture if you're a female, and maybe he'll respond much quicker.
Hey, yeah. What kind of picture? We'll talk about that in our sex show.
I don't like email going to my phone, because if it went to my phone would constantly be buzzing. So I don't like that.
Oh, so you don't have you don't have phone that went to college?
No, it's not a smartphone anymore because see,
I have an iPhone.
Broken.
Oh yeah, I see that. Yeah,
it graduated in the first five.
Nice
iPhone. Yeah,
very good.
I had to replace the battery. Did you know you can replace batteries on iPhones of I think 4 or 5 or greater?
Yeah, what does that cost? $200?
No, it was free. I had insurance or something.
Oh,
and you're listening
in
to
Las Vegas.
Technology.
At 10:30 at night.
Oh, that show is coming.
I had it replaced because I was losing battery and it was horrible.
Come on, Dave. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Oh yeah, I won't say the other part, but there was some weird driver at the Forum Clubs. Club. You know, let me get you, okay, real quickly. Right. So you've been to the Forum Club, right?
Oh, of course I haven't.
What's it called? Caesar's Palace. It's really a cool place.
I'm thinking of that place of the Great Western Forum back
in the
80s.
Oh, I've been to
the
Caesar's Palace.
Oh, no, not the Forum Club. The Forum Shops.
Yes, I have been there, yes.
Yeah,
many
it's
times.
Really cool. And we ate at Carmine's, a nice Italian restaurant. And then it was late, and I had my battery replaced in my iPhone, of course. And we did valet. And little did we know, we knew it closed at 11, but we never thought the valet would leave. And we go out, and there's no valet, and there's still cars out there. And the guy's about to leave, and he was really mean, actually. And he said, fine, I'll get your car. So he backs up the car going like 30, 40 miles an hour and almost hits someone. And I should complain to Caesars because I think that was...
unprofessional.
Yeah, and then I said, what happened to all the people that are still eating at restaurants? And they come out, they go, they won't get their car till 10 in the morning.
Oh.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Come on. And Vegas is like New York, the city that never sleeps. It's like, I mean, you can get anything done, if you know what I mean, any time of the day or night.
So I thought it was really weird that, you know, and maybe he was just fibbing to me grumpy and grouchy, and maybe they do stay till the last car. But
aren't those two?
But he said.
The seven doors?
He said that to me. That's bad.
I can't believe that they would, you know, keep your car till morning if you were eating.
A classy place like Caesar's?
Classy?
Classy. Oh, a monkey owns that place, isn't it?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A what?
Caesar. A monkey.
Caesar. Yeah.
Caesar owns that.
Oh, yeah.
He's an ape.
Yes. Maybe.
Isn't there a difference between monkeys and apes? Apes? We'll have to ask this guy that calls in.
We're going to have to ask
Dr. Stephen Ross.
The proctologist.
Primatologist.
No, he's a proctologist.
We'll have him on next week's
section. Primatologist, proctologist.
Oh, yeah.
No,
he does double duty.
He is a member of the American Society of Primatologists, and not only that, but he is the director of the Lester Fisher Center for the Study and Conservation of Apes at the Lincoln Park Zoo. You know, my mom and my aunt Cindy, they always, when they were young, they went to they walked to the Lincoln Park Zoo, you know, on a regular basis, almost every day. And you know, I've got to ask him about Bushmen. You know Bushmen?
Oh, George, yes.
No, Bushmen.
Those are the Bushmen.
Oh, you mean like...
Hey, Greg, you can't say that word on air.
Oh. Yeah, you can't.
I'm sorry.
Wow, Greg. Okay. Just ruin a good time.
There goes 10 seconds of the show.
Yeah, and now we got the horrible... we sound like we're really slow and...
No, it doesn't do that.
Yeah, it does that.
It does.
It does.
It sounds a little bit. It's like a little bit of a hiccup.
I just wanted Eric to test it and make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure the dump button was working.
Yeah, before next week's sex show, you know.
Right. We got to make sure the dump button's working before.
Yeah, we got a sexologist on next week and everything like that.
Although I'm a little uncomfortable doing that show because Dave and myself are related. It's a little weird. So I will be in studio, but I'll be more of listening.
All right.
I'm going to have to bring my whip with me so that I make sure you guys don't get too much out of control.
Yeah. Well, that's a little too kinky for
we
us
had,
there,
buddy. I'm just going to say.
And the black leather suit.
Can we get Bobby in studio next week?
I don't know.
For the sex show. Bobby, we want you in studio next week for our sex show.
Why?
That's Mason's goal.
No, he's kidding.
I'm
course.
Kidding, Bobby. Don't. No, that's
it's too
okay.
late. You invited
him. Going to ring any second.
No, I know. That's okay. We don't need you in
you
studio
for that
show. You
can take Joseph to the bathroom.
Well, it's hard to, you know, make a statement and then try to politically retract it.
If Bobby knows any 21 to 28-year-old women who would like to come in studio.
Attractive women.
Let me clarify. Okay, attractive 21 to 28-year-old women.
I could get some Twin Peaks girls.
Okay.
Will they bring beer?
Maybe, yeah.
Some microbrew?
I probably could.
Wow. I tried to get our sexologist to come into the studio, but she's not able to
but
come
into
the studio.
But what would we ask the Twin Peaks girls about that show?
And what are we going to ask the sexologist? I
know what to ask that.
You do?
No.
Okay.
But I can draw.
Okay.
I think you need to get Veronica Chaos for the next week's show.
That would be really chaotic.
Yeah.
Do you know who she
is?
Look her up. Google her. I won't go any farther than that, but you can look her up.
We'll Google her.
She's a ventriloquist.
Okay.
So Veronica Chaos with
yes.
a C?
Yes.
We'll let them do that.
Dave's looking her up.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh,
Dave's looking
God.
Up and down now.
Wow.
On the Wi-Fi here?
Yeah, what about it?
Oh, okay.
No, it's not that terrible.
Oh, I don't know.
Bad.
I don't know. I wasn't.
Oh, this is good.
I mean,
one.
Some of it is, but.
Oh, okay.
All right, here we go. Let's going to check this out.
Hey,
wow, lucky dummy.
Wow.
Yours works faster than mine.
Yes. It could be a new Twilight Zone episode.
Yes.
Veronica Chaos and her dummy.
Okay.
/ lover.
I told you she.
Yes, thanks. Okay, Greg.
Maybe this is a bad idea to do the next week's theme, but. Let's get back
that's
on topic
what I'm
for
to point out.
Yeah. Let's talk about let's preview a little bit.
There goes 20 seconds of the show.
I know. Come on.
Okay,
now.
That's it, Greg.
Now
no
we're
more.
Really slow.
I didn't think that was
like
that bad.
That's bad.
You probably could have gotten away with it, but I'm not taking any chances.
Yeah, we're not taking any chances.
Joseph Need review movie.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay. No, we've got some other guests on today as well. Yeah. Just to let you know, someone I'm really excited to speak with an actor. He's a world traveler, actor, and author. I believe you need to pronounce his name Tao Penglis.
Yes.
We'll have to ask him. But you might know him as Tony DiMera, a.k.a. Andre DiMera, on Days of Our Lives. He was also on
Oh, yeah,
General
I watch
Hospital.
That every day.
I do.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
He won the bet again.
He won the bet again.
I have watched it ever since I was born.
Born? How long ago?
30 years, sadly.
Wait, did you stay home from school? Like when most kids would stay home to watch The Price is Right?
He was watching As the World
Turns. But you didn't have days where like, I'm sick, so you could watch
Days of
Our
Lives,
General Hospital.
As the World Turns. What are you talking about?
We called it GH.
Okay. Yeah, well, I call it Duel. Duel or Days. Anyway, we've got on Tao Penglis today to tell us about his book, Places, The Journey of My Days, My Lives. So that'll be in our second hour. And in our last hour, we will be speaking with actresses Alexandra Rodriguez and Vivian LaMole from East Los High. That is a Hulu original series.
Oh, yes, Hulu.
Hulu.
I saw that on Hulu. I didn't watch it, but I saw it there.
Okay. You saw Hulu.
Maybe they'll convince you to watch the show.
Yeah.
Great, Eric. Thanks. I'm sure they're really happy to be on the show now.
You know what's my favorite show is now? Sons of Tucson.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
You haven't seen it.
I saw Foreson.
Wow. Okay, well, let's talk about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
In this, a growing nation of genetically evolved apes is threatened by a band of human survivors of the devastating virus unleashed a decade earlier. They reach a fragile peace, but it proves short-lived as both sides are brought to the brink of a war that will determine who will emerge as Earth's dominant species. Essentially, you know, after the events with James Franco and Caesar in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Is he in that again?
No, he's not. We see his
Thank
picture.
God.
Oh, come on. That was.
So this takes place like 10 years after.
This is
after.
10 years after. So, you know, basically.
10 winters, as they call it.
10 winters ago. Yeah. The
10 seasons.
There's winter in San Francisco?
10 365.
Everything
many
is,
moons.
10 full moons.
Everything is covered with plants and trees and everything. So, you know, because there's no power. And the apes have basically taken over San Francisco. So then, a group of people come back, and they want to revive the city.
And they still vote for Nancy Pelosi.
And they go into the
Do they
forest.
Have Ape Pride Week?
Wow. And they go into the forest, and they realize that,
there's
apes.
Oh, they do. It says it there. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
And there's apes in there. And the apes, they are doing sign language.
Yeah.
And then they say, basically, we don't want you coming back here. Because, you know, the humans have guns, and you know what guns do, right?
Guns are bad.
Not guns do. Guns don't do that. People do that.
Right.
Guns do it, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, people with guns.
Yeah.
All right.
We know.
Anyway, so then the apes are upset with that, and they say don't come back, but the humans come back because they need the water source,
sound like nice
the power
apes.
Source. And then, you know what? The apes can talk. The apes can
I
talk.
I love it.
Well, they're pacifists.
Well, we learned that in the past. Caesar was kind of starting to do that.
Yeah, he was kind of starting.
He's
but
like, no!
He's doing sign language. They all know sign language in this, but he's... Good. Yeah, he said no, and that, and now he actually can phrase, you know, their main philosophy is ape, no kill ape, and ape together strong, right?
Yeah.
And so they are a family. Uh-huh. And they're a family, and unlike they separate themselves from humans because humans kill each other, and they fight, and they do all these horrible things.
And
what?
And they say, we're happy to see you when they see them eating a banana.
Okay. Very good.
What?
Whatever. And wow, my mind. All right, so you just hurt my head. Anyway, so
still watching this video.
So now my review.
Her,
so
dummy.
You go ahead and review this movie first.
Go first.
I want to preface this by saying Rise of the Planet of the Apes was on my best list back in 2011.
I'm in agreement. It was really good.
It was a wonderful film,
fantastic,
and I could not wait to see this movie. What did you think of it, Dave?
I thought truly it was a great movie. I thought it was 2+ hours of a drama
action. Suspense.
No, of a drama action film that takes you into the heart and soul of great leaders and to the fear, power, and ignorance of dangerous leaders. I mean, that was a really interesting theme. From the movie, they even made a comment, fear makes others follow. And you look at that in real life, that is exactly what is happening. It's happened in Washington for quite a few years.
But not just that, people who are strong, people follow people who are strong. So if you are weak...
Yeah.
You cannot. We cannot. I mean, as humans or apes, we cannot show any weakness because people will not follow us. You have to be constantly strong.
There's no doubt, and you're right. It was. I thought this movie was about ape versus ape, man versus man, and man versus everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it boils down to. The elements in the movie. It looked like what Washington has done. There's a parallel. I won't spoil the movie, but there's certain things that I think certain countries have done. Because out of, they call it national security, it may be survival, whatever, that this movie parallels. And people will, when they watch it, they'll notice what I'm talking about. There was a setup situation that again, I think, sadly, United States did under George W. Bush. Weapons of mass destruction. No, they weren't. And to justify war, you know, and that was an interesting theme as well. I thought the acting was fantastic with the apes' eyes, the expressions they had.
That's Andy Serkis from Gollum from
Lord
of the Rings.
That was incredible.
He was in the first one, too.
Yeah, yeah.
What you can read from their eyes.
Well, there's others, too. I mean, Judy Greer is one of the apes, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. This is a longer review than usually because I really liked it. I liked the subtitles. It made it feel more like a separate race almost among, you know, I want to say people, but
they are.
Consciousness. I'll say it that way. So I thought, it was about fear, love, compassion, hate. It's all here. Humans will not forgive was a line in the movie. And some will, of course, and it's all about perception. And how do you spell sequel? That's how I'm going to leave.
Oh,
this.
You can't wait for. Oh, okay.
No, I mean that was a perfect setup for a sequel.
Yeah,
there's question.
Well, did you see Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
I can't remember if I did.
Oh
actually.
My goodness. Okay.
Well, Rowdy McDowell or something.
No, James Franco,
James
the one
Franco.
From a couple.
No, that was
years
in the
ago.
'60s.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was your time as well. Actually,
I can't remember.
The old Planet of the Apes franchise. The first one, obviously, I loved a lot. The other ones I've seen, don't remember quite as clearly, but were pretty good.
Oh, was that the last one? Rise of the very last. One with
James Franco.
Okay, I
not
did
with
see
Mark.
No,
Wahlberg.
No, we
Mark
haven't.
Wahlberg
we haven't been talking
so
about it for the last two
okay,
minutes.
Okay, I like the Rise of the Planet of the Apes because that was the last
kids
one.
Kids don't do drugs.
Oh yes, and unless you're in the '60s, I thought this was as good, at least as good.
Okay, all right. Well, because I wanted to say, isn't
it?
Mark Wahlberg one wasn't good, even though Mark Wahlberg's great. The
no, but the James Franco or whatever.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
I did like that one.
Fantastic.
In the lab and everything. Yeah.
Well, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, in my opinion, is a drastically different movie than its 2011 predecessor, Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Well, it's
I
love
Rise
different.
Of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
And you love this as well.
I did. This
way.
Is excellent. Yeah. This is a breakthrough.
Great. Yes, I was thinking of
this
that.
This is a breakthrough. This is the best movie released this summer so far.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Million Ways to Die in the West. These are two different, completely different movies.
Way
though.
Different.
This is an action-packed movie. You know, the first film was a feeling fable about man's relationship with Beast.
Yeah.
This one is a tension-fueled tale about Beast's perception of said relationship that eventually escalates to an all-out action extravaganza.
Yeah.
But you know, Dave, I like that you touched on the sign language that they do and
That's
the subject. subtitles.
Great.
Because the one thing that both of these movies share is a brilliant use of behavior over dialogue to tell their stories and evoke not just excitement but empathy. They're both among the best, most thought and emotion-provoking motion pictures released during their respective summers. Again, I'm giving a breakthrough to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. If you do not see this movie,
yes,
then you are bananas.
Ape. No, I loved it too. Wow, we agree.
Yeah.
Eric, they agree on something.
We agree.
This is unbelievable.
Amazing.
Are you going to go see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Eric?
Yes, as soon as it's on Netflix.
Okay. Remember,
this
Eric
is the movie that you've
got to
see in, but you've got
to
see this in the theater
it's
because
it's
just the sound that surrounds you.
I can't wait
you,
to see it.
All the,
but I'm going to.
That's very
that,
good.
All that, that's excellent.
How did you learn that
and
all
then,
in one
and
day?
In that scene when Koba. He's trying to trick them because Koba is the very mean ape. He's got the scar, if
he's
you remember from
Dick
Rise
Cheney.
Of the Planet of the Apes.
He's a Dick Cheney.
He is an evil, evil ape, and he yeah. What?
What?
he is a mean ape, and he tries to trick the humans. He basically, you know, he does the raspberry, and then he acts like a monkey. Exactly what they think that they're going to, you know, what they expect from an ape, but he is a lot smarter than that. This is a wonderful movie, and
it
I want to talk more about it in our last segment after our interview, but we got to take a break.
Yeah, you're going to take a break first.
We're going to take a break because we've got on a really special guest, a primatologist, right? Stephen Ross, Dr. Stephen Ross from Lincoln Park Zoo in Illinois. But right now, here is a song from Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, the end credits by composer Michael Giacchino.
Is that what it's called, the end credits?
Well, it's Dawn of the End Credits or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, that's the actual title. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM, KPHX Studios in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.
Are you a restaurant owner who panics if your AC goes down in the dog days of summer? Extreme Cooling finds that equipment usually breaks down unnecessarily, costing restaurant owners time and money. For this reason, Extreme Cooling promotes and specializes in proactive service plans designed specifically to keep all of your refrigeration equipment operating properly as designed all year long. Extreme Cooling is here to help you with all of your refrigeration needs, knowing that saving money is your top concern. Our number is 623-810-8513. When you want to start saving money, call Extreme Cooling. Do you suffer from not having enough fun? We could take care of that. Pino's Palette is the upscale paint and bring your own beverage studio located off of Tatum and Shea. We're a group painting class where you can bring your own alcohol or non-alcoholic beverage, and our trained artists will lead you through step by step in recreating the featured painting of the night. No art experience necessary. Drink in one hand and paintbrush in another. We are a great night out for any occasion. Pino's Palette. Paint, drink, and have fun.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
More than 60,000 people are diagnosed with Parkinson's disease each year, thousands of them here in the Valley. Thankfully, one of the nation's top treatment facilities is located in the heart of Phoenix, the Muhammad Ali Parkinson Center. Parkinson Network of Arizona raises funds to help patients and families receive the crucial educational and activity-based classes offered through the center. 1480 and Parkinson Network of Arizona invite you to become involved and make a difference in the lives of those with Parkinson's. Go online to ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org to find out about upcoming events, including the largest Parkinson's walk in the state, Walk the Fight, and learn how your donation stays local to provide life-changing opportunities. Once again, that's ParkinsonNetworkAZ.org.
Ridenour, Hyten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Monkey see, monkey do, makes me wonder who's fooling who. Laugh at them, they'll laugh at you. Monkey see, monkey do. Well, I read somewhere that a twist of fate made you different from me.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph Erdo, Greg Isaac, Eric Reinhardt. And
this song.
What is this song?
You don't know this song? This is Monkey See, Monkey Do by Cliff Crawford from Every Which Way But Loose. I'm sure that Eric knows Every Which Way But Loose. He's taking a phone call. But yeah, you know Clint Eastwood pairs up with an orangutan.
Yeah, that was a pretty decent movie, right? Not his.
I don't know. I've never seen
Dirty Harry movies caliber.
It's kind of like Dirty Harry with.
What was his favorite
movie?
What's your best Clint Eastwood movie?
Gran Torino.
Forgiven.
Okay.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't like that?
It's okay. I like Gran Torino.
Oh, my. You like cars instead
of cowboys.
I love
that movie. That's a great movie.
Yeah, but did you ever see Every Which Way But Loose?
Yes, of course.
Did you like
that? I saw all three of them.
There were three of them?
There were.
I only knew that there was two.
I think there was three.
So which one's the one with Jim Carrey?
What?
Jim Carrey was in one of the Dirty Harry
now
movies.
Now you sound like Eric. Why do you sound like Eric?
Because I got a delicious organic saltine cracker in my mouth.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I don't know what. But anyway, you know, this is.
Are you sucking on it or chewing it?
Well,
easy.
No, but really, there's one with
Get
Jim Carrey. He has a small little
like
role.
Like
I'll find out later after,
right.
I guess.
Find out. And then, but right now, it is Breakthrough Entertainment's Ape Show in honor of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Just got a breakthrough from me. Was it a breakthrough from you, Dave, or just a thumbs up?
It's close to breakthrough. I think I'm going to see it one more time and then officially announce a breakthrough.
Well, you know, I think there might be someone that has also seen it. His name is Dr. Stephen Ross. He's a primatologist. He's a member of the American Society of Primatologists. He's director of the Lester Fisher Center for the Study and Conservation of Apes at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Illinois.
Deadpool, by the way.
Okay, Deadpool, okay. Well, anyway, Dr. Stephen Ross, thank you so much for joining us on our Ape Show.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, well, you know, so I've got a lot. We've got a lot to talk to you about. I'm going to tell our listeners a little bit more about you in a moment, too, because you've got a lot of different efforts, all about primatology. But I wanted to start about the film because you saw it two nights ago. I gave it a breakthrough. Dave is on he doesn't know if he wants to give it a breakthrough. It's definitely a thumbs up.
Definitely a phenomenal movie.
You are the expert. What do you have to say about Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Dr. Ross?
I'll definitely give it a breakthrough. I thought it was a really well-done movie, and interesting enough, it's, you know, hard to take off your hat as a primate scientist, and I thought they did a really spectacular job in terms of realism of the apes in the movie.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know, because one interesting thing about you, one of many interesting things, is that you run a program called Project Chimp Care, and if our listeners want to learn more about this, www.chimpcare.org. It deals with privately owned chimpanzees and their use as actors in movies. Project Chimp Care helped move over 30 chimps from lives as pets and performers to more appropriate homes in accredited zoos and sanctuaries. So I don't know about the technical stuff with Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I know most of it was motion capture. Were you able to spot any real apes in the film?
Yeah, no, actually, I know for a fact there were no apes either in this movie or its predecessor.
Wow.
And that's in itself a really big breakthrough because, as you know, for many decades, chimpanzees have been used as actors in movies and often portrayed in very sort of silly ways. So, the ability for this movie to have chimps as sort of main players in a movie but yet not use any actor chimps that have to suffer some of these welfare consequences is a really big step.
Right. And you know, the thing that's amazing is they look so real. You know, the movements alone are outstanding. But then, I mean, Marcel, and I don't know if that is that a orangutan. Orangutan.
That's right. That's an orangutan. Yep.
That looks so real, just like an orangutan. I mean, the eyes, the fur, everything about it just blew me away. I don't know. You know, Dave, did you?
I think the way they talked, it was so real. No, I'm kidding about that. But I really thought there were real live apes in the movie.
Nope, it's all computer generated. They do a fantastic job of using actors and then basically digitally drawing apes over top of them.
Amazing. Yeah, let me ask you this, Dr. Ross, or should we call you Dr. Steven, Dr. Ross, or what?
Call me Steve. How about that?
Okay, Steve. And how does a big film like this, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, does this impact what you do in any way? Does it give you more awareness, more contributions to help chimpanzees and apes and so on?
Well, I think in a strange way, sort of an indirect way, it does. You know, one of the common misperceptions, I think, partly as a result of the use of young acting chimps throughout the decades, is that people always thought that chimpanzees were just these little creatures that were cute and cuddly and maybe even a viable option as a pet. And even though the chimpanzees that are demonstrated in this movie are sort of hyper-aggressive and hyper-intelligent, I think it does open people's eyes that, yeah, these little cute, cuddly baby chimpanzees grow up to be aggressive beings and are probably or definitely a terrible option to own as a pet and a terrible option to show off in silly ways in movies.
Right. And you know, your expertise is primarily with chimpanzees. Again, that's the primary species in the film. But you've worked with several other species, including gorillas at Lincoln Park Zoo. You conduct non-invasive behavioral and cognitive research to help understand and conserve these species. So, again, you are out at the Lincoln Park Zoo in Illinois. I said earlier that my mom and my aunt used to go there all the time. I've been there. It's a wonderful, wonderful zoo. Can people meet you there, or do you ever interact with public?
It's really quite neat because one of the things that Lincoln Park Zoo is known for is a very high-quality research program, okay? So back in the day, maybe zoos were more about looking at the animals and buying a balloon, but nowadays we have very strong conservation programs, and at the Lincoln Park Zoo, those scientific endeavors that we do are on full display. So people can come to the Lincoln Park Zoo at about 1:30 every day. They can watch our gorillas and our chimpanzees work with touchscreen computers and do some of the experiments that they voluntarily engage in.
So then is this too far off? I mean, can you do any of them know sign language, anything like that?
Yeah, we're not looking to teach them sign language per se, but we are using the touchscreens as a way of sort of understanding what they're thinking. So because they don't have language, unlike some of the apes in the movie, the ability for them to answer questions and sort of select their preferences via touchscreens is one really interesting way that we can communicate with them in an indirect way.
That is really interesting. Let me ask you a question, Steve, how did you get into this field? What was your passion? When did you first notice that you really enjoyed working in this area?
Well, it's pretty typical for at least people within primatology. I think a lot of us were inspired by some of those early National Geographic documentaries with Jane Goodall. I certainly was. But really, one of the other real formative moments for me was reading a book called Chimpanzee Politics, which, interestingly, can really relate well to this Planet of the Apes movie. And that's by a scientist named Franz de Waal out of Emory University in Atlanta. And that I read just as I was going into high school. And I think after reading that, I decided that I really had to work with chimpanzees, and I sort of set my goal on that early on.
Now, has there been any risk to you? I mean, I'm sure you're in very close proximity to chimpanzees, apes, and gorillas, and so on. Any stories you can share that, like, wow, that was a close call, or something like that?
Well, you know, wherever I work, I always work with a barrier between the apes and ourselves. It's the same with all the zookeepers. We never go in with the apes themselves because, exactly as you mentioned, these are dangerous animals. In fact, probably the closest I've ever been to an ape is when I've traveled to Africa to be around wild apes. And there, without the barriers, occasionally there are circumstances where they'll get quite close to you.
Wow, that's amazing. I was reading a little bit something about you. You said you conducted a wide breadth of ape and visitor studies that helped directly influence the design of a new ape facility. How does that work? I mean, when you were conducting this study, how did it influence a design of a new facility?
Well, you know, I was originally joined Lincoln Park Zoo back in around the year 2000, and that was when they were just beginning to plan for this new facility. It's called the Regenstein Center for African Apes. It's been around for 10 years now. But what we did was we studied very intensively how the apes acted in their former environment, what spaces they enjoyed to use, what areas they used. And we used all of those preferences that they demonstrated to us in the design of the new space. Now, obviously, some of those preferences were pretty obvious. Chimps like to be up high, you know, climbing and so on. But others were less obvious. We found that they really liked corners, for instance, in their old environment. That's something that made them perhaps feel very secure. So if you come into the Regenstein Center for African Apes at Lincoln Park Zoo, you'll find that the design of the facility is very angular, and that was to maximize the number of corners. So it's things like that that we use their own behavior to design the building to meet their needs.
Okay, great. And Steve, one of our other hosts that sometimes joins us, Trisha, she's on the line right now. She heard us speaking with you, and she's got a question for you as well, Trisha.
Yes. Hi there. Hi. I know that this is science fiction, so don't get me wrong. However, I also know that there is truth to the story of when there was an ape in an enclosure in a zoo, I think in Ohio. And she wasn't taking care of her infant. She wasn't feeding it and holding it. She didn't know how to because she had not had any imprinting done because she'd been captured young or something. And they brought in women from La Leche League and had them nursing their babies outside the enclosure where the mom ape could see it. And that basically they grew a bond between these moms that were breastfeeding and the ape, and they actually, through example, taught the ape how to care for her newborn. Are you familiar with that story?
Actually, no, I'm not familiar with that story, but the sort of example that you use that you can sort of help train young mothers to be better moms when they have infants, that's definitely within the realm of possibility.
Okay, because here's my question then, is how far-fetched would it be if these are intelligent creatures? How far-fetched would it be if they are in zoos and enclosures where people are coming and they're watching our behaviors and everything? How far-fetched would it be for them to actually learn from those behaviors and maybe, you know, if you were to multiply it multiple times, would it be that they could actually evolve similar to what these sci-fi movies are exploiting?
Well, there's definitely zero doubt that chimps and other apes and other primates, frankly, are interested in what humans do. That there's no doubt about that. I can remember a facility I worked in once where a chimpanzee managed to use a stick to pull in a pair of rubber boots that the zookeepers were using just so that she could wear them for the day, and she got a hose and started cleaning the inside of her cage. They're very interested and can learn very much from what they see humans do. The question here is sort of where you have to suspend disbelief in terms of these larger changes happening is sort of the time course of evolution. For traits to evolve within a species, we're talking about thousands, if not millions of years. This is not something that's going to happen overnight or within a couple, a decade, like displayed in the movie, unfortunately.
And you know, Steve, you're also the chair of the board of directors for the National Chimpanzee Sanctuary, Chimphaven. If people want to learn more about this, www.chimphaven.org. In Louisiana, it's home to over 200 chimpanzees retired from use in biomedical laboratories. You know, because you sent me that information, and when I saw the film, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I could not help but think of Koba. You know, yep. He's had a horrible, horrible life, and I mean, he is the ape villain in the movie, but he also, there's a reason that he's that way. There's a reason he doesn't trust humans. Can you talk to that?
Yeah, so Chimphaven is an amazing facility in just outside of Shreveport, Louisiana, where there are over 200 chimpanzees now who have lived relatively difficult lives. Many of them have been infected with diseases very purposefully, such as HIV and hepatitis, in order to find vaccines. To a great degree, that sort of research has been unsuccessful, and now the federal government has decided that they need to find retirement homes for them. And Chimphaven is the place that chimpanzees owned by the National Institute of Health go for retirement. And you're absolutely right that these chimpanzees, because of the way they've been treated for so many years, have a lot of reason not to like humans. Mm-hmm. But through the work of Chimp Haven, I think what we've seen is one of the most remarkable aspects of chimpanzees, and that's their ability to forgive. And so many of these chimpanzees who have been given diseases and treated in maybe not so great ways in the past have now found a new home, a new start to their life at Chimp Haven.
That's wonderful.
Poor animals.
Yeah, and you know, you've also got a field site where you recently visited. It's located in I'm going to butcher this, Gualago Triangle in the Republic of Congo. Did I do it any justice?
It was pretty close. It's Gualago.
Gualago Triangle in the Republic of Congo. You know, congo-apes.com. That's congo. .org. congo-apes.org. Can you tell us, you know, since you just recently visited there, what you know, what's going on there?
Right. So as I mentioned, Lincoln Park Zoo has a strong conservation program. In fact, we have a full-time scientist, Dr. Dave Morgan, who basically I only see a couple weeks a year because he's always in the Republic of Congo, which is in Central Africa. And there, they're studying wild populations of chimpanzees and gorillas who are under threat of logging. So there's a lot of logging coming into that area, threatening even the national park area and tearing down the habitat of these apes. And so Dr. Morgan and his colleagues are there, and I traveled there in February to sort of better understand exactly what's going on and had a chance to see both wild chimpanzees and wild gorillas there and help contribute, hopefully, to preserving their habitat.
Wow, that's excellent. And, you know, I just want to mention one more thing that you do. You're the chair of the Chimpanzee Species Survival Plan, managing a population of over 264 chimpanzees living in accredited zoos across North America. If our listeners want to learn more about that, it's www.chimp-ssp.org. Again, that's chimp-ssp.org. And, you know, my aunt over in Illinois, she listens to us every week, and she wanted me to ask you about Bushman. Do you remember Bushman from Lincoln Park Zoo?
Well, Bushman passed away before I ever got to Lincoln Park Zoo, but he is very well known, and in fact, we have a display of sort of the, it's almost like the Hall of Fame of apes at Regenstein Center for African Apes, and Bushman is among the most famous of all the gorillas ever to live at our zoo. And actually, it wasn't that long ago that I met someone who knew Bushman as a baby. She came to us. She was probably over 90 years old and visited Lincoln Park Zoo just to see that photograph and to talk to some of the people who were working with gorillas today at Lincoln Park Zoo.
Okay, and Eric's got a question.
Yeah, I wanted to know, how long do they live in captivity versus in the wild?
Well, I'll speak specifically to chimpanzees on this. Chimpanzees, the median lifespan is about 35, but they can live well into their 50s and even their 60s in zoos such as Lincoln Park Zoo. We had a 55-year-old male who just passed away last year. It's difficult to know how long chimpanzees live in the wild, though, because, of course, we've only been studying them there for about 60 years. So maybe there's one or two that we know can live into their 50s or 60s. But to say there's a big difference between wild and captive chimpanzees is a little difficult to say right now. It's probably about the same.
Really?
Yep.
Even with medical attention and everything that they receive while they're in captivity?
That's right. And it's, you know, it's something that, you know, as a scientist, I can't stretch the facts. The point is, even all the risks that are involved in the wild, the difficulty getting food and so on, it's about the same. They're sort of biologically set for about that lifespan. What's interesting is that they don't have predators in the wild, except for perhaps leopards who eat young chimpanzees. They are very much at the top of the food chain.
Actually, Steve, I have another question. This is so fascinating to me that now it's a two-part question. First of all, chimpanzees and gorillas and the other species within that group, do they get along or do they fight with each other?
So there are only a very few places in the world where a chimpanzee and a gorilla would even meet. Oh. One of those happens to be Gualago Triangle, where I work. And in those cases, the chimps basically avoid the gorillas. The gorillas are so much bigger than them, they just get out of the way. But for the most part, they never sort of come in contact with each other. And certainly at the zoo, they're in separate enclosures.
And just a follow-up on that is, would gorillas or chimpanzees or any of those species attack, you know, a human being unprovoked?
They're very aggressive animals, especially chimpanzees. And in those unfortunate circumstances where people have bought chimpanzees as pets and then they grow up out of that cute and cuddly stage, you know, we do see these unprovoked attacks. And I'm sure you heard the very tragic one several years ago where a woman was severely injured by her neighbor's pet chimpanzee.
She lost her face.
And she lost her face.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on TV the other day, in fact.
And then there was another guy who was caretaking for some chimpanzees, and it tore him apart, too.
Yeah, they're just naturally aggressive animals. That's why we at the zoo and any other legitimate facility would never go in with them, really, at any age. Because they're just dangerous, aggressive animals. They're also very kind and forgiving, as I mentioned, but like humans, they have sort of two sides to them.
That's amazing. And one last question is, who, gorillas, chimpanzees, other species in that group, who are they need to be aware of and be their greatest predator, I guess I could phrase it that way?
Well, it's humans. In the wild, humans are the real problem. Still in Africa today, chimpanzees are hunted for their meat, surprisingly enough, no matter how closely related they are to us. And so it's a difficult situation to avoid humans, unfortunately.
Who would be the second? I mean, like tigers or?
Leopards.
Leopards.
Leopards will prey on young chimpanzees where they can get them, and occasionally sort of young adults. But that's a relatively rare predation.
How about a gorilla, though? They're pretty big and strong, right?
Well, gorillas don't hunt. They're vegetarians.
But would someone come after them, though, for their...
I think it's possible that a leopard could predate on a gorilla, but that would be a big risk because you don't want to mess with that big silverback
gorilla.
That's
what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. This has been an absolutely interesting interview. You know, I have to ask one final question. My favorite ape movie, you know, primate movie, has to be, you know, either Rise of the Planet of the Apes or Project Nim. How about you?
Yeah, I think Project Nim is the best primate movie ever made, and I bet a lot of your listeners haven't seen it. If you want a compelling, emotional documentary, that is an amazing watch.
Yes, definitely is. It was on my best list. I think it was the same year as Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
right?
2011. They were both on my best list, and you know, chances are Dawn of the Planet of the Apes might be on my best list as well this year. It's that good. We got basically, you know, three thumbs up, maybe three breakthroughs, and it's been an absolute pleasure, you know, just enlightening to talk about this topic with you, Dr. Stephen Ross. You know, again, member of the American Society of Primatologists and director of the Lester Fisher Center for the Study and Conservation of Apes at the Lincoln Park Zoo. If you are out in Illinois or if you're going to take a vacation this year to Illinois, go out to the Lincoln Park Zoo and ask for Dr. Ross and tell him that you, you know, heard him here on Breakthrough Entertainment. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And have a great weekend.
Thank you. That was fascinating.
Absolutely, yeah. It was.
Wow. So humans are sort of
the jerks in the whole scene.
Yeah, well, threats. I didn't.
Oh,
know
come
that.
On, we're like keeping them in cages. We're hunting them.
Wow. And we're like experimenting awful. On them.
Yeah,
and
we're
injecting
them
with
diseases.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's like the movie Project X, which I see you have something familiar with, where they irradiate them to see how the effects of radiation. On apes.
Yep, oh.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, as we've seen in the first one, in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Koba is really experimented on horribly.
Yeah, that's
I mean, he's
right.
He, at one point in this film, he points to all of his scars and he says, "This is human.
Yeah.
You know, human gave me this. Human
gave
me this."
So you can almost understand his anger.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
spoilers.
Well, no. That's in the first one. They experiment on him. But I'm saying that, you know, that. We treat animals so poorly, and you know, so
I don't
either. I've got a duck that wears the diaper in the house, so
that's horrible.
One
you
step
put
away.
A diaper on a duck.
Oh, come on, he's the luckiest
he should
duck.
Be in a pond somewhere.
Look at all the emotional issues this poor duck will have now. He's
know,
only
know.
Used to human contact.
Yeah, but he'll live a lot longer in captivity.
He thinks that there's only one person in the world, and
that's
me.
Him.
Quack.
Oh,
human gave me
someone
quack.
Else comes in the house and he says quack 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 quack.
Wait, anyway, when he was born,
it's like a Twilight Zone episode for him.
Were you the first one he saw? That's imprinting.
Yeah, yeah. So just like he mentioned imprinting with chimpanzees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is true,
the same
by the
thing.
Way.
They
are we taking a break?
No, we won't
only
take
a few minutes left.
Let's take let's not take a break, but play
the music.
Play a little bit of this next song. This is from Any Which Way You Can. This is again Cliff Crawford, Orangutan Hall of Fame. What were you
going to
say?
I was going to say, and Dave may already know this, but I'll bring it up. As I mentioned, it's like the Twilight Zone for Frozen when he sees other people or animals.
Yeah.
Of course, Rod Serling was the writer of the original Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Now, did you know that was filmed here in Arizona?
I didn't know
almost
that.
Entirely?
I had no idea.
See, did you also know that the monkeys, all the apes and stuff, the actors with the makeup?
Makeup, yeah.
They wouldn't let them take off the makeup during the whole shoot because it was too hard to get back.
They said Roddy McDowall would actually drive home and he would scare people on the freeway and stuff because he'd say in his makeup. But it was based on a 1963 novel, of course. But then when they were going to make it into the movie, the producer, Arthur Jacobs, got the rights and immediately hired Rod Serling to write it. It does have a Twilight Zone type feel to it.
And this, we've moved on to the next song. This is from
we
Project
skipped
the
song.
X. Yeah, we did. I'm gonna save that song for the end of the segment.
You Project X, which with a big party in Pasadena.
No, this is a different Project X. Project is Shock the Monkey. With this is sung by Peter Gabriel.
Good and song.
I didn't see Project X. This Project X. What was this one about?
This is with Matthew Broderick, and he works for the military. And he works for a division of the military that experiments on chimpanzees. And he can't take it anymore, so he steals them.
Wow.
Okay.
It's got like some, ethical issues.
And then he becomes their agent, and now they make movies.
Yes, and then he booked them for Clint Eastwood's Every Which Way You Can.
Wow.
And
he's
Which
a
Way
smart.
Loose.
He's married this Sarah, what's her name? Parker.
Sarah Jessica
not
Parker.
Anymore?
I think they're separated.
Yeah,
her nose might have got in the way.
Seabiscuit.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't understand. What? Everybody says she's hot. And I don't see it.
I don't see it either.
She was hot when she was younger. When
no,
she
not
was,
even younger.
When she was played by the girl in...
she
in
looks like Eric. Someone that would play a witch in a movie, and of course
she
did. She
did.
Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, she was perfect for
fantastic.
That.
Although she seems like a nice person.
Yeah.
Except for her nose.
And pull your foot out of your mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Backpedaling.
She did Sex in the City. Are we going to talk about that next week at our sex show?
We might. But
Sex in the City.
Yeah. Well, we'll preview more. Yeah, you just said it again.
I might call in sick.
I think I'm going to call in sick.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, so the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. If you have seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, give us a call. 602-252-1480. Again, that is 602-252-1480. I gave it a breakthrough. Dave needs to see it again. He wants to.
It's close to a breakthrough.
I don't know
it's
how you could
close.
Go below a breakthrough. But,
it's good though. I will agree. Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, and there they do play a song in the movie. I didn't play that song, but it's the first song they've heard in like 10 years, right? The Weight by the band.
Yeah.
When they get the power up and running.
Take a load of fame.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Take a load for free. Yeah.
Oh. Huh? Okay. Yeah. Don't quit your day job. Okay.
Right. Well, no, it's a neat moment in the movie.
Yeah. What day job?
Oh, boy.
I saw Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, so I can tell everyone out there to go and see it because it is worth the money.
You told me you watch Days of Our Lives every day. Where do you have time to see films?
Days of Our Lives is 37 minutes without commercials.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, you exactly. Timed it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But you still have to watch wait through the commercials to see those 37 minutes.
Yeah. Not
Joseph,
if
you
have the technology.
What I think you do great at? You are a great film columnist.
Oh,
Eric
thanks.
Is as well.
Thanks.
But is the one of my favorite movies, but Judd Apatow and Company Knocked Up, is how they do the whole Mr. Skin type thing where Jonah Hill's sitting there watching TV and he gets the nude scenes, right? I think you would do well at that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily with nude scenes, but with other things in movies. And I sort of mean that as a compliment because I think you're articulate like that.
Very
and you could
important
do good
moments
things.
In these movies.
Now I know what websites you're surfing.
I know exactly where Greg goes.
Huh?
Yes, we do.
MrSkin.com.
And we have the viruses to prove it.
More than Trojans. One. Isn't that called STD?
Yeah. Oh, huh? Are we going to talk about that next week?
Next week. But it's still the primate show. And, again, I want people to go out and see Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It is a great film. And, Dr. Ross, I want to thank him again for joining us.
Oh, STD, yeah.
Because
now I get it. Sally, Teresa, and Darlene.
Wow, okay. Well, anyway... Project
like
stay away from those three girls.
Project
exactly.
Yeah.
Warning. A spoiler alert.
Project NIMH.
I
go
took
and
the
rent
for everyone.
Go and rent Project NIMH. I know you said you hadn't heard of it, so
Project NIMH, like NIM?
NIM, yes. It's
I was looking for it on Netflix, not there.
Wow. Really? Okay. Well, it is a documentary. I usually don't even like documentaries, but it is absolutely great, especially if you love animals, and really enlightening documentary.
So what? I'm on number five now?
You're on number five. We're going to play a song that kind of takes us back to our astronaut show last year when we were talking about gravity. This song is going to be by the Bare Naked Ladies. Sounds like it's from our sex show, but it's our primate show, our ape show, and I did that ape show because it sounds like ape. And
ape show.
Yeah. Anyway, this is from Space Chimps, Another Postcard.
Oh, phenomenal film.
Well, Space Chimps, okay.
Andy Samberg.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't that terrible.
I've never seen it.
Okay, it was okay. But this is you know, another chimp, another postcard.
Postcard.
And they're talking all about these chimps.
I never heard this one.
Starsky and Hutch chimps?
Oh, I've heard of
a
Starsky.
Chimp sitting on the can. A chimp from Amsterdam. Another postcard with chimpanzees.
Excellent. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM. KPHX.
Another one.
And this is our own Joseph singing. Do you get a pass? You are really good at that. Do you? You know, try that on the date.
Yeah, I will.
And
give me the glasses.
And tell
if
us
one ever comes up. Yes.
Yeah. Do that. Yeah. Yeah.
We take
or
break.
Try it
we
next
be
week.
Back.
And we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
At Beerenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
This is 1480 KP.